Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
Yes, and an amazing mom and a great wife.
I'm an okay mom, you know, working on it.
A follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, just a board member. No, you're more than that. So.
Well, you're more than a president, CEO, so, you know.
Or whatever, yeah, well, a little bit.
Whatever more. You are these days.
Hey, we've got the last of our stuff going on for 40 Days for Life. Sunday is our closing prayer vigil tomorrow. So come on out and join us. It's going to be at 3 p.m. This is at the Mega Planned Parenthood in St. Paul. This has been a good campaign all fall. Lots of people coming out and taking time to pray. Several babies saved during this campaign out there. And I'm reading reports of campaigns all over the United States that have been going on simultaneous to ours. That's one of the wonderful things about doing this 40 Days for Life activity is that you're working with people all across the country, praying with people all across the country, you know, making the prayers and the sacrifices and taking vigil time to try and bring an end to the killing of the unborn. So it all comes to a culmination Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. This neighborhood, if you've not come here before, it's on-street parking only. Do not park in somebody's parking lot, some business's parking lot. You may have to park two or three blocks up, four blocks up, but it's not that far to walk to get back to the vigil site. And if you want, you could always park somewhere where you can come in by train or by bus. So easy to get to location right off University and Vandalia in St. Paul. So come join us as we close out this campaign in prayer. And then the last event we've got scheduled for 2025 is Caroling for Life. And this is where we sing Christmas carols outside the abortion facilities. This will be Saturday, December 13th. And we'll get you more information about exact times and locations in the next few weeks now. But it's just put it on your calendar, Saturday, December 13th, Saturday morning. And we'll definitively be at the Planned Parenthood that we're going to close our 40 Days for Life out at the one on Vandalia. We've got a couple of locations we're trying to discern right now. So we'll be doing three at the same time, which we've done many times. And then Baby Saved in Orlando. Angela, woo-hoo. Another baby saved in Orlando so this past week. So we continue to have this increased number of babies saved this year, and we're excited about that. And this was at this location called All Women's, AWHC, I think is the letters for it. And young woman just accepted the information and talked with the sidewalk counselors and decided yes for her baby instead of going in and with her scheduled abortion and having a dead baby instead of a beautiful new life. So just excited about that. Today we have a very special guest we're going to get to in a little bit. Just so everybody knows, we've only got a couple of the national stories that are very important that are going on right now to share with you. And so jump right into that. The first one is, and this is a very significant situation, a pro-life organization put together a national poll, and they did it through one of the big polling companies. So it's a very, very solidified poll. They did a survey of 1,600 likely voters, and the survey was about the safety protocols around or surrounding the abortion pill, or actually I should say the lack of safety protocols surrounding the abortion pill. So this was done over a three-day period in August by McLaughlin and Associates. And so this survey, first of all, it's important to know that of those surveyed, 57% of those likely voters self-identified as being pro-choice. So this isn't like they just did a survey of pro-life people. Only 40% identified, self-identified as being pro-life. So this is a sampling, a good sampling of our national positions on abortion right now. So very important. They found that 71% of those surveyed approved the requiring a doctor's visit for a woman to obtain an abortion pill. Now, that's a safety rule the Biden administration removed back in 2020. In addition to that, 70% of these likely voters surveyed approved a proposal to require doctors to screen for and report signs of coercion or abuse before prescribing the abortion pill. That is a big, significant story right there. It's, again, there are no laws requiring this of doctors in states where abortions are being performed right now, whether it's for the abortion pill or anything. They are not looking for it, nor are they reporting coercion that takes place. And we know it takes place a lot when it comes to abortion.
Well, I'm glad these numbers are fairly high, but why isn't it like 100%? I mean, it's kind of crazy. Like one of the data points here is that 81% agreed with the statement that no one should be able to get chemical abortion drugs online or from a foreign country and be able to give them to a woman without her knowledge or consent. Only 81% believe that women should not be given abortion pills without her knowledge and consent. Like what? What about the other 19%? Like 19% of people think it's okay in some situations to give women chemical abortions without their knowledge. It's insane.
Right. Another one also is that 90% believe that the FDA should be required to put accurate report and real impact of the drug on the boxes, on the labeling for the abortion pill. Why only 90%? You're right. Why isn't it 100% or 99.9 or whatever the number would be? I understand what you're saying there. It's like, you know, why do we still have those that don't agree with some of these? Sometimes, though, it could be the lack of reading the question correctly by an individual and they answer it differently than they mean to. But overall, extremely high numbers. And why it's so good that we're seeing this type of survey right now is it's perfect to be putting out in front of the FDA right now, who's talking about really doing brand new risk evaluations of the abortion pill and doing what was never done in the first place back in the late 1990s before it was first put on the market, and certainly what has not been done in clinical trials before 2016 or before 2022, when these REMS were all being modified to make it easier to kill babies by the abortion pill. So I think this may have a positive impact in that process. That's certainly the hope. The prayer is that we'll see the abortion pill regulated back to where it was at least originally in 2000. And if we do, the incidences and the use of the abortion pill will go down significantly. Certainly, we'll end all mail order abortions. We'll end this internet free for all that it is right now. At least legally, it would be ended. It doesn't mean it still won't happen illegally, but legally it will stop. So I think that's why this is significant in my mind with regard to this. Another story out there wanted to share this morning. Okay, so we've talked about IVF, in vitro fertilization. We've been talking about it here the last few weeks because of a lot of stuff in the news regarding it and how bad it is. Well, there's a story out now coming from Live Action, actually, where they're talking about the people who started this and how horrible the background is and how insidious the whole concept of IVF is in its original motivation. So they were not motivated for altruism, just to simply help people conceive who could not. They actually, and one of the pioneers is Robert Edwards, said that his intent was to find out if God was in charge of human reproduction or if the scientists were. And his answer was, the scientists are.
Well, and he's I was going to say it's important to note that he was a socialist, and he was a part of the Eugenics Society in Britain and felt eugenics was positive, except for when the Nazis used it. I mean, it's just the mental gymnastics is just astonishing. And then requiring women to abort children if they had any fetal defects while they were learning more about IVF. It's just crazy. It is so diabolical.
Absolutely. And part of this was you know, trying to create this concept of the perfect child.
Right.
For that couple, I guess, or whatever, because I don't know what a perfect child looks like, but the idea that they don't have any maladies, they don't have any problems physically and mentally, so therefore that would be the deeming of their deciding as they play God, because that's what they were doing. That's exactly what he's saying they were doing when he said he wanted to find out if God was in charge or if the scientists were, and he says he declares God isn't, the scientists are. Mm-hmm. He's playing God 100%. And that, again, is a very dangerous and very, very horrible place to be.
We're drilling down genetically, I mean, into hair color, eye color, athleticism, like all these different genome sequences that parents are looking for and scientists are drilling into. And it also feeds into this transhumanism, but that's for another day. But it's so evil. It's just so evil. So we've talked about that a lot, but I think it bears repeating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one last story I wanted to share before we get to our very special guest is a story breaking out of Florida. And it actually was broke by our Central Florida manager, Michelle Herzog of Pro-Life Action Ministries. And what they found out was that an abortionist stopped showing up to commit abortions at a local abortion facility that she sidewalk counsels and leads sidewalk counseling. And so she started digging into it and found out that this man, his name is Kirk Brody, who runs or was the primary abortionist for a chain of these all women's locations in Florida, that he had not been going to any of those locations. And she found that his license to practice medicine in Tennessee had been revoked. And so when this was brought before the Florida Board of Medicine, they too suspended his license. So he is not allowed to practice in either Tennessee or Florida. And of course, Florida was his primary location to be practicing the art of killing innocent human beings. He's no longer doing it. Praise God. And we all can pray that he never receive a medical license ever again.
For sure.
Well, we've got, I've been teasing you, very special guest. This is an amazing woman. She's been actively involved in our 40 Days for Life campaigns for a very long time, actively involved in a regular time of getting out and praying out at the Mega Planned Parenthood in St. Paul. She's got her grandson in her arms, so hear a little feedback from him, but that's okay. This is Karen McCann, and Karen, welcome to Living the Gospel of Life.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here with you guys.
Awesome. And it's Gabriel with you, right? So let's say hey to Gabriel too. So
can you say hi? He's babbling. So. He's not quite talking yet. He's 10 and a half months.
Now, Karen, you've been helping get churches to encourage parishioners to go out and pray during 40 Days for Life campaigns for, what, 7-8 years?
Longer? Yeah, I would say I was trying to think of that, how long it's been. And I kind of remember back when the Unplanned story came out in the movie, the book and the movie, and I feel like you know, that's kind of what was the catalyst for 40 Days for Life. And I think I started probably around that time.
Well, very good. And you work with multiple churches.
Yes.
What are the churches that you're encouraging to go out and to be a part of the 40 Days for Life?
Well, my home parish is Nativity of Our Lord in St. Paul in McAllister, Groveland. And so I started there. And I have friends from other parishes, too, because, well, when you're in the pro-life movement, you find lots of people from Catholic parishes around the cities. And I'm also involved with Birthright. So I kind of market wherever I know pro-life people and invite everybody to join the 40 Days for Life campaign because it's just such an amazing, you know, movement all over the world. But Nativity and St. Mark's, we've been kind of teaming up for the last few years. And we usually have a kickoff at one of our parishes. And, you know, we have bulletin notices and just we invite people to come. And we adopt 2 days usually every year. We've adopted more than that in the past. But for the last few years, it's been 2 days. And I figure with two big parishes like we have, that shouldn't be a problem. But, you know, some people are afraid and hesitant. So I always say, you know what, if you want to go and I'll come with you, if I can, I will. So, and I let them know that it is a little bit, you know, scary at first, but once you get there, you see beautiful people standing there in prayer and you feel that it's very important to be there, be a witness and pray.
Well, I know I've seen you come out many times with that smiling face of yours, coming out and praying, often walking around the block,
yes.
Praying around the whole block.
I try to do that, yes.
Yeah. I think you've had your cell phone on speaker and you're listening to the rosary or to something else as you do this,
yep.
As well.
It helps me not
what are the different things you do when you're out there praying besides what I just described?
Well, mainly those things. Sometimes like the other morning when we had our second adopted day, I joined with some of the men that come from St. Agnes. They come early in the morning and they say all the decades of the rosary and I join with them. You know, if somebody's going in and I see them and there's not a sidewalk counselor there, I will, you know, try to, I hate to say the word shout, but I try to make myself heard to say, you know, we're here to help or something of that nature. I've been through the sidewalk training years ago when we had a really huge conference with amazing people. I met all kinds of amazing people from 40 Days for Life and the Godfather, you know, God rest his soul, he was there. And so if they need me to give them a break there, sometimes I'll do that. If somebody, you know, who's a sidewalk counselor needs to go to the bathroom or something, or, but I really just try to pray. Sometimes I'll be saying the rosary, like you said, with my rosary app, that really helps me stay on track. Otherwise, I'll join with others. And especially if I see men coming out to pray, like the seminarians, I always give them encouragement because, you know, these men, they are oftentimes yelled at and told that, you know, they're not part of this. But last time I checked, it took two to make a baby. So I always, well, the yes. IVF stuff is crazy. But anyway, that's another topic. But I always encourage people that are there, especially the young men, because it takes courage for them to get out there like that when they, you know, are discouraged. And so, yeah, and I do try to smile at people. Joy is a good thing. And
it's infectious.
It's a tough situation because you feel sad for who's inside, but yet we're about joy in life. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a tightrope to walk. Oh,
very good. Very, very good. And then you also, I don't know if you started this or if it were a group of you that started this, but you've got a pro-life book club.
Yes, it's great. I love it.
Tell us more about that, please.
Yeah, so we have two contingents of it because it grew from, we do it at Nativity probably every other month or every third month or sometimes every month, depending on what's happening and how much availability. During the holidays, you know, maybe you don't have it as often. But it all started with the unplanned book. That was the first book we ever read by Abby Johnson. And ever since then, we just decided this was something, and I welcome anybody to come. It's not, you know, a closed group by any means. And every time we have on, we have different people, but there's a core group that tend to show up. And my mom was part of this group, and she is a member of Annunciation Parish in Minneapolis. And so I've befriended a lot of people over from Annunciation. And so those ladies, we have a discussion. Well, not just ladies. There's some men that come too. But they come, and I just welcome anybody from any parish. It's whoever wants to come and read these books. And we've read amazing books on all kinds of topics of human dignity and pro-life topics.
I've probably have a few I could recommend if you're starting to get thin on books to read. So yeah. I've got a whole good collection as well. But
so many.
You just mentioned something, though, I'd like to at least take a moment to acknowledge, and that is your mother belongs to Annunciation. That's where that shooting at the church took place.
Yes.
And we've got a lot of folks who have been involved in pro-life action ministries over the years who either have belonged to or currently belong to Annunciation. So we're very familiar with that. But you and your mother were there the day of the shooting.
Yes, we were.
And so you guys were diving underneath pews and for your life's sake.
Yes. And thank God we were not harmed physically. You know, it's emotionally, it's a hard thing to deal with, but we're doing amazingly well. I know there are families there that probably are having a lot harder time than we are, especially the ones that lost their children and those that were injured. It was a horrible day. By strange as it sounds, I'm glad I was there to be with my mom and, you know, to pray for everybody that was there. We were praying nonstop under the pews. And I did call 911 while I was under there and was on. It rang and rang for a long time. I didn't know if the person was in the church, out of the church. I didn't. All I knew was there was somebody that was shooting. So, it was a horrible day, but lots of prayers to be said and, you know, some amazing miracles, like I'm sure you've heard about Sophia Fortress, who against all odds, she survived that. And amazingly, I was the one who found her that day. And that was, I had her in my mind for weeks and weeks because I didn't know who she was. And anyway, when I found out later that that's who it was, I was just amazed, you know, by the fact that I was able to be there and, you know, be a part of all that craziness as such as it was. But so a lot of people to pray for over there, and they're doing amazing things. They're praying the rosary every night at 9 o'clock. They're continuing to do that. And I do believe that our Mama Mary had a big part in saving a lot of lives. And
yes, I've seen that online again, because we know so many people from Annunciation. I see the Facebook feeds and things like that, the reels as they call them out there, of a lot of the prayer going on. And that's the good side of this, is how people are praying, how people are coming together to pray, and it's significant. Like you said, it's every single evening.
Yes,
they're out there praying outside Annunciation, and that's a very powerful thing.
Yes.
Hopefully Mayor Jacob Fry sees that, but since he doesn't think prayer is very effective, it's very powerful, very powerful. So, well, I'm glad you are safe. I'm sorry that you went through the experience, but there's also something about this that's so powerful spiritually to endure these type of things in the spirit of Christ.
Yes.
So I'm sure this has strengthened you in your character.
Oh, yeah.
Now tell me, so your mom, how old's your mom? Do you mind telling me? You're telling all
mind.
Of us, I should
don't
say.
Think she'll mind. She's a young 86.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm still old enough to remember that your men are told never to ask a woman's age. So
that was, I don't care.
For all the younger people out there, that actually used to be a thing. Anyhow, so, but, okay, so is it, you've got a spirit about you that is part of just your personality that is, like I said, smile, vibrant, always looking very, very brightly at what is happening, a very good outlook. Is your mother the same way?
She is.
Are you a chip off the block?
Yes. I think I look more like my dad, but my mom and I, we're so much alike in a lot of ways. We enjoy a lot of the same things. We like to do crafts. We love the rosary. Her friends and I, we all get along. We're very, very similar. She's a little more quiet than me. I can be too chatty, sadly.
Well, you are outgoing. There's no doubt. That's not bad. That's a good thing. That's a good thing too. So her handling the situation, doing well as well.
She is. She's doing amazingly well. She's got a great support group of family and friends from church. We've been trying to go every single Wednesday. They've been kind enough next door to Annunciation. We've been going to Mass at Mount Olivet, the nursing home. They've been so kind to offer their chapel. And so that, I think the sacraments are so strengthening and powerful.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. She just had eyelid surgery. So everybody who wants to pray for her, her name is Pat. She would love your prayers for a fast healing process. She had a little growth on her eyelid that was worrisome. So she just had that surgery yesterday. So we're all praying for her.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you mentioned Sophia, and of course, the big news last week was Sophia getting to go home, which was so beautiful to see. But I'll still encourage everyone, keep praying for Sophia.
Yes.
You know, though she's been able to go home, and it's been miraculous that she's been able to go home already, and that she walked on her own. I mean, I saw her get out of one of the feeds. I saw her get out of the vehicle and walk up to her friends and start embracing them. Yeah, just about. And that's amazing, but there's still a lot. There's still a lot that she needs healing from. So keep her in prayer. And like you mentioned, there are others. There were others that were injured. And we learned, you know, many weeks after the fact that it was actually 30 people that got shot, not just originally they thought 8 or 12 or something, but there were a lot of people, including a young boy who was on the news that night and didn't even know he had gotten a piece of shot in him.
I know that was
which
wild.
Is just
mm-hmm. oh, so I didn't hear about that. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of like the shock of the situation. You don't even recognize that you've been injured, and he was. So keep them all in prayer. You know, we're dedicated to defending the innocent, and in this situation, these are people that are worshiping God in high worship during the sacrament of the Eucharist, being shot at. And that's where innocence is greatest, I think, in so many respects. So we defend them. We defend those who are being killed by abortion. You know, we want to defend the moms and the dads who are going, even though they may be the ones driving the purpose for the killing of the unborn. We still defend them. And we even defend those that are involved in the killing to the point that we want them to leave. We want them to no longer be a part of this. We pray for their conversion ardently. So these are all very, very important things. And I know, Karen, you do all that. I've heard you talk about it so many times on the sidewalks and stuff. I know Angela does it because I force her to. she's smiling. She's not going to say anything. I just keep your faith strong. You are an amazing witness to all of us, encouraging us in our faith. As you do all that you've done, even long before dealing with the Annunciation thing, you have been for me. So thank you, Karen, for being on the show.
Thank you.
And God bless you, and God bless everyone.
Okay, God bless you too, and everybody at Pro-Life Action Ministries and Relevant Radio too.